It seems I've gained the world, but have nothing to keep tabs upon. This loss isn't wasted time.
Going back to the first album there, point number one, it's an evening with Chevelle and Sam and Peter, taking your calls toll-free at 1-800-344-ROCK. That's 7625 for the rock part there. Next week, Three Doors Down will return to Rockline, and we'll catch them in a couple of locations, Mobile and Biloxi, I believe. And so that should be some fun, and we may have a special guest calling in on that program. Time now for the encore question, though. If you're a Rockline listener, you know all about that. Band on the previous week leaves a question for the band the following week. This one comes from the band Double Drive.
Hey guys, this is Donnie and Josh, Mike, and Troy from Double Drive.
What's up, guys? Up?
And the question isn't if you remember playing the Rave and all those other smelly little clubs with us, but are you guys still brothers after all this mess that the road does to you? Or are you over all that by now?
That's a good question. Oh, man. Yeah, I guess we've kind of answered that already. We are still brothers, and as of right now,
sounds like you're doing better than ever. Actually, you know,
now do we say something really bad about Joe while we're here?
who can't defend himself? You know,
that's right. Yeah, right.
Now, do you remember playing the snowy little clubs as they referred to from Double Drive?
The first show we played with them was actually out in California somewhere. Yeah, I think it was with POD.
Really?
And Double Drive. And they came in, and we were such a little band, like a new band and all that, and we had like a little trailer and crap, and all of our gear was kind of packed up in boxes and things, and Double Drive came out, and they had like these huge, huge road cases that wouldn't barely fit on the stage, and we were all looking at each other like, this is ridiculous. And then, you know, 2 months later, we're all like, we gotta have that stuff. We can't function without those huge road cases.
Yeah, right.
We need those too. Yeah, well, why not? You know, yeah, a little case envy going on there between bands.
That's right.
Thanks to Double Drive for the question, and off the air, you guys will get to leave one for Three Doors Down for next week. And right now, we'll take a call from Chicago. It's Eve. Hi, Eve. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Do you have any problems using the name Chevelle for Chevrolet?
As long as no one from GM is listening to this program.
No, nobody from GM listens to it. No.
It's like you can't go into a record store trying to buy a car, and you can't go into a car dealership trying to buy a record. So they pretty much, it doesn't matter, you know. And there's like the whole copyright thing, and it's not really a problem.
Yeah, I know we trademarked the name and all that. So, no problems as of yet. So,
yeah, so far.
Well, you would have heard from them by now, believe me.
I hope so.
We trademarked it for music, and I know that they have it trademarked for cars, but it's not a registered trademark, so it's not exclusive.
Now, I think if you were a little more on the outrageous side, you might have heard from them, you know, but apparently somebody's pretty happy with what you're doing. And your website is ChevelleInc.com, ChevelleInc.com,
right,
so you can bang that out should you need to. The guys are in Chicago tonight at Chicago Recording Company, and that's where Eve was calling from Moreno Valley.
At the door.
Yeah, well, there you are. Moreno Valley, California. Jennifer's checking in here. You're on Rockline. Jennifer, welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hey. Hi, Jennifer.
What is the next song you'll be making into a music video, and when will it be out?
The next single is going to be Closure, and there's not a date set for the to make the video yet, although we're coming up with ideas, and I'm not sure if I should let you in on that or not.
As we speak.
You might want to be surprised, but...
Anybody close to a treatment for the song that's...
We have a couple of people working on it right now, and then we've got some ideas that they're working on, too, so...
Yeah, we're thinking about the Sam's idea was the good and the bad, the ugly.
Yeah, the cowboy scene.
So I think that'd be a little interesting.
Nobody's done a cowboy video in a while, and we haven't any good westerns.
Man. So what? With horses and a barroom fight and that type of thing.
The whole thing and the prostitutes
just getting all dirty and like, dusty.
And the prostitutes,
the grungy teeth. And, you know, the whole deal.
Now that you mention it, I haven't seen a good cowboy prostitute video in years. You know, it's just been ages, man.
A good Western hasn't even come out lately, man. What's up with that?
That's
we need to
true.
The old spaghetti Westerns again coming back.
We could do the Three Amigos.
Yeah. The Three Amigos. Or Sergio Leone when you really need him. This is Closure. It is Chevelle on Rockline.
Breathe. Trust.
That will be the third single from Wonder What's Next, Closure, the name of that by Chevelle. And Sam and Peter taking your calls at 1-800-344-ROCK. And next up from Norfolk, Virginia, Michael, you're on Rockline. What's up tonight?
All right. How did y'all get the name for your latest album, Wonder What's Next?
Well, we just took all the frustration that we dealt with for the previous year and kind of threw it into making this record. So basically, there was a time where we thought we were going to lose the use of the name Chevelle. We weren't going to be able to get out of our first record contract and get onto a new label to keep pursuing our careers. And, you know, it was kind of, we got to a point where we were like, what else can happen? You know, what's going to, you know, happen to this band? So we kind of threw that name, Wonder What's Next, on there. And it's actually the title track of the record. And if you look in the bridge, read the liner notes, I speak about the problems with the industry and that kind of the things that we dealt with anyway. So that's where the name came from.
The first album was on Squint, and when that label folded, did the thought of other jobs cross your mind?
Yeah, in fact, we went back to doing a little carpentry.
Yeah, we did.
You know, I mean, there was a serious lull in what we were doing at that time.
But now I never have to work again.
Yes. We get into our Ferraris and drive around
to our mansions and our pools. Yeah.
You know, people have that impression, though. I think a lot of people think that's the way it is and have no realization of what it takes to put a band on the road, how expensive it is, and all the other people you got to have tag along, too.
It's crazy expensive.
And, yeah, they don't realize that, you know, being in a band, it's even with, like, number one singles like we have right now, or a number one single, it's still a job, and it still takes many, many years to accumulate a decent amount of money. But your career is so much shorter, so you make a little bit more as opposed to working 30 years of your life or 40 years, but your career is so much shorter, so.
Well, there had to be that point between Squint folding and this coming out where you really were wondering what was next and what was going on. So what did you do? Did you begin to demo songs while you had this down?
Yeah, we wrote constantly.
Yeah, right away. We came off, like I said, from touring with Filter and bands like Seven Dust and all these heavy bands. And actually, I literally went home and learned how to play the guitar in drop tunings, because point number one, it was done in standard tunings, albeit each string was tuned down a note, so it was like standard D instead of the standard E. But I went home and learned how to play in drop, you know, drop B and, you know, drop C and all that, and wrote the whole new record. Most of it is in drop tunings, and so we took that time and really, you know, focused on writing, because it was, you know, it was all we had. We didn't know where we were going to go and what was going on, but
we bought a couple more pieces of gear and we just started recording things to tracks. Mm-hmm. And
did our own demos and all that. So
drop tuning is knocking it down a note and it just gives it kind of a ballsier sound. Is that what happens?
Yeah, pretty much. It's just taking the top string on the guitar and bringing it down a note. Mm-hmm. And you can just play power chords with one finger, and that way it's easier to jump around and get nasty on stage.
Tricks of the trade. I like it. Michael, nice call. Thanks. Tara in Oklahoma City, we're coming your way now. Hi. Hi, Tara.
Tara.
Nope, she's gone.
What's up?
She's gone. She lost her shot. We'll try to get her back, though. Jessica in Canton. Hi, Jessica. You're on the air with us.
Hi. First of all, I want to start out by saying that you guys totally rock, and I cannot wait to see you guys on Ozfest.
Thanks.
Right on.
Yeah. I want to know, which one of you guys is more the businessman in the group?
I would say definitely Sam, the drummer, is, and you can take over from here.
Yeah, that would be me.
What, do you have a business question?
Yeah, we have a business question you want to answer?
Stocks, bonds, that kind of thing.
I got all kinds of stuff about lawyers, about money, all kinds of accounting questions.
Jessica, do you need a good lawyer? Are you trying to invest in the market now or anything? Sam's your man. No, I don't think so. She's kind of stunned, I think, at this point. Yeah. One of you has to have a better business acumen than the other. I mean,
it's way better to do it like that, where you sort of have one person kind of do it, because otherwise then you've got every person that works for you calling and trying to get three decisions on everything. And it just doesn't work, and it just streamlines things. And then plus, you know, Pete has to have his mind clear for the important things, which is, you know, writing those hit melodies.
That's right.
And so, you know, I make up my portion of the band by taking care of that crap. You know, but I mean, when you're you're a band that's growing, there's so many things to take care of on top of just like the record and industry parts and the management and all that. I mean, just like normal stuff, like getting the gear from place to place or getting a van or, you know, just like there's so much stuff. And now,
which you used to do,
which I don't have to do anymore, fortunately. But even now, like we have a full blown studio, and that studio takes people to run it. You know, it takes. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it takes, you know, we get home and it takes us 2 weeks to get all the gear set up to the point of recording. And, you know, so there's always got to be somebody, you know, the bigger you get, the more crap you've got. And that's what we deal with now.
Now, when you guys first signed with Squint and you were first getting into it, were you naive or someplace way beyond naive?
Yes.
Yes and yes.
Yes.
If you only knew then what you know now. Let's play a song a song from the first album, Point Number One. This one's called Mia. It's Chevelle on Rockline.
Watch me heap up what I sow. I'm made of peanuts and not of shells. God's fears are quality of himself. Unique design, but we can't help ourselves. So why? I'm made a face that bugs you. I won't design conversation around you. I'm made a face that bugs you.
By Chevelle, and that's from the first CD, Point Number One. Nice night tonight on Rockline, a full 90 minutes with Chevelle, with Pete and Sam taking your calls, and we head to West Texas to speak with Tiffany next. Tiffany, you're on Rockline with Chevelle.
Yeah, hey guys, how's it going?
Hey, what's up, Tiffany?
Not much. I just want to say, Pete, you're absolutely gorgeous, and I love you.
Oh.
And my question is,
shink.
My question is, how did making Chevelle come about? I mean, did you talk about it as you were little kids, or just one day it came up, or you know, how did?
Yeah, we used to play with tennis rackets in our basement as guitars.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I had a good image going there.
Yeah, right. You know, actually, it just kind of happened. You know, at the time when we really started getting into music, we kind of listened to bands that weren't typically on the radio at the time anyway, and then they kind of blew up. We were in bands like Soundgarden, Alice in Chains.
Black Flag, Minutemen.
Yeah, some other punk stuff too.
Dead Milkmen.
But I don't know. It was like we kind of thought, oh man, you know, I think we can, you know, we can write better music that's on the radio at the time.
Right.
And we just kind of... Sam got a drum kit. I started playing guitar. It just kind of happened. And then, you know, Joe, who's 4 years younger than myself and 6 years younger than Sam, you know, was pretty young at that time. So he didn't actually join the band till later on. But
it wasn't even like a band then. As a matter of fact, I remember people saying things like, you guys should go out, play shows and stuff. And we would be like, you know, we don't do that. Yeah. Man, we're just doing this for fun.
Yeah, we were a basement band forever. You know, we really worked on the music and just tried to be, you know, we never played covers and... you know, we just kind of always wrote our own music, and I don't know, and it just kind of snowballed into this. And, you know, in fact, we played this little gig, one of our first gigs. It was Battle of the Bands.
Yeah.
And we needed a name. We didn't have a name, and we threw Chevelle on there, and it stuck with us this whole time. So, well, yeah, just plugging away.
Thank God you put the basement to use. There's a basement in every house in Chicago. You build any true. Houses without basements there. What'd you do with Joe playing when you hit the club circuit? And you know, you have a really young guy
14.
Going in there. Yeah.
Yeah, he was 14 when we first played the Double Door, which is a 21 and over rock club in Chicago here. And
that was a Double Door. It had only been open about 4 months, actually, when we played that place.
Yeah, in fact, he was it was a good thing he was like 6 feet tall. He was skinny and lanky and all that, but he was tall enough to where people didn't really look at him like
they knew he was younger, but they didn't know he was 14. They'd have freaked out if they knew that.
And we got up there and rocked their asses off, and they didn't care how old he was.
Yeah, we just kept him in the dressing room as long as we could.
I love that. So. Thanks, Tiffany. We'll speak with Allie now in Pensacola. Hi, Allie. You're on Rockline.
Hey, I just wanted to say, what are your guys' bad habits?
Let's see here. So many to pull from. Go ahead, Sammy.
Well, I see my bad habit, like on the road, my bad habits is I eat garbage food all the time. But like pizza, we have pizza every night after a show, on top of having breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and snacks in between. That's like a really bad habit. And not reading, that's a bad habit of mine. But when I'm home, I have a bad habit. I speed constantly. And like tonight when I got here, man, I went like 100 miles an hour all the way here. It was so fun. That's a terrible habit.
So what expressway were you on coming into town?
I was on the 90, actually.
Oh, okay. I just want to know which one to avoid when I'm in Chicago the next time.
Yeah. It's all under construction, too, and I'm in my little car, and it's like, boom, just flying through these people.
Everything's under construction in summer in Chicago. It's the way the city works,
man.
You know?
It's ridiculous.
All right, fess up. Come on, Pete.
Man, I don't shower enough on the road, honestly. I'm just a dirty, stinky boy.
That is not true. Pete is like Mr. Aromatherapy.
Yeah, actually, I have a bad habit of being a girl. I have like a huge cologne collection. And I don't know.
You pull the bunk curtain back, and it's like those flowers, and it's like the serene music going, and like little lights, and like daisies, and
when you're
butterflies
on a tour,
right around.
It is hard to stay clean and all
silk
that.
Silk sheets.
You don't want to get gig butt, let me tell you.
I thought the driving 100 miles an hour was revealing, but that's almost over the line there, Pete. Sam, do you and Joe get tired of the aroma of colognes?
No, it's nice
and stuff?
Because normally it would smell like feet in the bunker.
Vast improvement.
Yeah, Pete, it helps out, actually. Yeah.
Allie, there you go. We'll take a time out. We got more music coming up, more of your calls, and more with Pete and Sam from Chevelle. It's Rockline. Your number's toll-free for you as always at 1-800-344-ROCK.
Manny Moe and Jack talk about the Futura tire sale.
Hurry into Pep Boys and save up to 20% on tires for cars like Camry, Taurus, Intrepid, and most minivans.
Right now, folks can save on our best-selling 55,000-mile Futura tires from only $35 to $50 each.
So many tires to choose from, Moe. We even have tires starting at only $20.
Futuras, some of the best tires made.
They just cost less.
So hurry into the Pep Boys Futura tire sale going on now.
Pep Boys, we're car people.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours, so what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
Liz is cautious.
I don't like making decisions.
The problem is Liz is about to buy a used car.
Don't pressure me! Back off! You back off!
off.
And Liz doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you feel confident in your decision.
That makes me feel pretty good.
That's just super, Liz.
Yeah.
Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax report to get the truth about used cars.
But my mother told me not to take advice from strangers.
Come on, girl. You're 37 years old.
Okay, just back off!
How many mouse clicks does it take to put a 20% dent in worldwide CD sales? How many clicks does it take before 99% of all music on the web is illegal? How many clicks before an entire generation stops buying music at all? Well, we've done the calculations, and the answer is now a matter of record. One. Respect the music.
Rockline.